Thanks, Chris and team, for that and leading us in a wonderful time of praise. And we are in a series, as Jake mentioned, on Thanksgiving. And sometimes it's hard to give thanks because we're so focused on just the narrow thing. And you've heard expressions before, like you can't see the forest because of the trees. Basically, what that means is you're so focused on intimate detail that you can't see the whole picture. And it's about perspective, and it's very true in life for a lot of things, that when we are narrowly focused on one thing, we miss the wider picture. Now, in some cases, that's good. I mean, racehorses, they put blinkers on so they can just focus on the one thing. But in other things, it's not. Like art, you know, you're further away you get from a painting or a tapestry or whatever, the more the picture comes into being. And it's very, very true in our life, that we can easily miss the bigger picture that God has for us because we're too focused on the minor thing. And I just, is that coming up? And I just love these pictures that show there's nothing special when we look really close, but as we zoom out, we can see the perspective of it. So that first picture was just a close-up of a coconut. And I think that that's life, really. And one of the examples of this is the story of the Israelites as they were released out of Egypt. You would know the story, and we've spoken about it a lot of the time. And we look back on that story of the Jews sometimes with envy, you know, the wonderful miracles that they were surrounded by all the time. And the psalm that Chris read right at the beginning of our church service this morning outlines some of those wonderful things that they saw. I mean, miraculously led out of Egypt, divided the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground, led by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the day, a miraculous provision of food and water in the desert. It was really quite amazing, and yet the Israelites grumbled the whole time. They found something to whinge about, even in the middle of all this glory. And that shows the principle that if you're looking at the negative, you'll find it, and it'll give you something to grumble about. And that's what they did. They complained. And it's really weird, because it's amazing how much you forget the former things when you're grumbling about your current situation. So they were saying, oh, if only we could go back to Egypt, we were comfy then. They weren't at all. They were actually in slavery. But they pined back for the old days because they could only see the negative. You know, God brought them water miraculously, but they complained about that. God brought them miraculous food, but they complained about that. You know, oh, do we have to eat the same thing day after day? You know, out in the desert, and God, just everything God did, all as they could focus on was their problems. You know, they were uncomfortable, they were out in the desert, why do we have to walk so much in the heat? And they didn't see God's greatness that we read about and think, man, wouldn't that be amazing to experience that? They didn't see that. They didn't pay attention to it. And finally, God led them to a place where they were just about to go into the promised land, right? The beautiful land of green and a fertile land. The beginning of the bottom of that fertile crescent was that area of Palestine, lush. Water just flowed through the land all the time. Had beautiful seasons and everything that they would need. The land flowing with milk and honey is how it was described. And they were getting ready to come into this land, and they sent spies in and to see how good the land was. And then right at the end, they shrunk back with fear. In spite of all that God had done, right up until this point, they got to the point where they were just about to receive all the goodness that he'd promised, and they shrunk back with fear. They didn't trust God. And this is how the Bible describes it in Numbers 14. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried out all night. Their voices rose in great chorus to protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is it the Lord is taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. They were just so focused on the negative that they couldn't even see the glory that was just about to be given to them. And instead of trusting the word of God, they shrunk back. And it was a terrible, terrible display of a lack of faith. They were surrounded by God's glory the whole time, but all they could see was their own misery. And even imagined future misery. Oh, this will probably happen and that'll probably happen. I won't get you to put up your hand, those of you guilty of doing that. You know, oh, this will probably happen, that'll probably happen. Just focus so negatively. And so the Bible says they grumbled against God, even to the point where they were going to overthrow their leader. No matter what your situation, whether where God's doing great things or whether God's been quiet, grumbling or looking at the negative creates a negative sentiment toward God. Because what we do is we look only at the negative things in our life, and it makes us then accuse God that he doesn't care, that he doesn't love us, that why are only bad things happening all the time? And it reminds me of a little child, you know, a spoilt child, and or any child really, and you say to them, you know, no, you can't have that. You know, in spite of all the other things you give to them, you know, a comfortable house, a warm bed, safety, education, food, all of that kind of stuff. And they want this one thing, and you say, no, you can't have that thing. And then they start accusing you that you hate them, that you don't love them. You don't care about me because I can't have that thing. And that's what it's like, I reckon, when we grumble against God without seeing the greatness of God. And like entitled little brats, these Israelites did nothing but grumble in spite of all that God did to save them. In spite of the provision that he gave them, they complained. Instead of thanking him, instead of worshiping him for revealing his glory to them, they just grumbled. And the final straw was when God was about to lead them into the promised land and they couldn't trust him. They grumbled the whole time. And in that grumbling, it slowly eroded trust and broke down faith. In spite of all that God had showed them, they had worn it down and got to the point where they believed they could not trust God. So God punished them. Basically, God said to them, fine, if you don't want to trust me to lead you into the promised land, you stay here in the desert. And we read that in verse 29 of Numbers 14. This is God speaking. You will all drop dead in the wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you who's 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. Nothing else breeds a lack of faith more than a grumbling heart. And a lack of faith hurts the heart of God. In spite of all he had done, they still wouldn't believe. It's because they only could see the negative. They zoned in on it. They focused on the negative instead of seeing the big picture. And it tore away their trust. And I believe that this is a major principle in faith growth and development, that trust in God is essential for our relationship with him. And that is true in the Old Testament as well as in the New. The Apostle Paul picks up the same theme using the same example. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says, "And don't grumble as some of them did. and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as an example for us. They were written down to warn us who live in the end, as this end of the age. How can you see and experience the glory of God when you're so caught up in self-pity? That's not the Bible, that's my words. Sorry. Did that come out there? It did. Sorry about that. That's not the Bible. I must have got mixed up in my notes. Sorry about that. Basically, we need to open our eyes up to see the glory of God that surrounds us every day and in all things. Because there's so much that God is actually doing. That if we were to pay attention, we would see that God is doing so much. And how do we open our eyes to that? Through praise and thanksgiving. That's how we do it. Thanksgiving takes us on a journey to see that we are surrounded by the glory of God. Just as grumbling breeds a lack of faith, so praising God, thanking Him, it actually amplifies faith because you see Him more. And this daily habit of thanking God for everything, thanking Him for the blessings that you see, that daily habit leads us to not take things for granted and to see the actual work that God is doing that we become so used to. We get used to it and so we forget the glory of it. But by thanking Him every day, it stops us from taking things for granted. And we start to see the glory of God in reality. We see His hand as it actually is working in our life. The blessings of God become examples of the glory of God. And it overflows. And we end up developing a natural posture of thanksgiving. And it happens so simply. I mean, we thank God for the food. Some of you do that as a natural habit anyway. We call it grace, you know, where we just thank God for the food. And it might sound or seem like it's routine, but what it does is it helps us to remember that that is a provision of God, that He provides for us. We can thank Him for family, and we can thank Him for friends. You know, that's something we get used to, but we can thank God for that. We can thank Him for our health, even if our health might not be great. There are always aspects of our health that is good. You know, so are you in pain? You might be in pain, but can you see? Yeah. Can you hear? Can you digest? Can you walk? Can you sleep? You know, these are all the blessings of life. We can also thank Him for our wealth. The fact that the bill comes in and I can pay it is a testament to the glory of God looking after me. You could say, oh yeah, I work hard to earn that money and I did it all myself. You could say that. But if you see it as a provision from God, it enhances the glory of God in your life. And then there's the spiritual stuff. We can thank Him for forgiveness. We can thank Him for salvation, eternal life, heaven, all of that wonderful stuff. Actually, you can spend a lot of time thanking God every day if you counted up the blessings. A long time you could spend. And I think that's our calling. Our calling as Christians is to make thanksgiving and praise our staple in our walk with God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul shares personally about his ministry. And we know a little bit of the story of the Apostle Paul, how he traveled from place to place. And it wasn't always easy for him. And he shares a little bit in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is a real interesting window into Paul's personal struggles. And that's where he talks about his thorn in the flesh and all of that kind of stuff. And he admits in this section that he had trouble in it. But it's good for us to see how he saw the glory of God through the troubles. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I don't know if you remember a few years ago, we did the series called Glow. And we went for 5 weeks through this section of 2 Corinthians, if you remember back then. But this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All of this is for your benefit. He's talking about his ministry of the gospel. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and they won't last long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Where are our eyes focused? Paul says we don't put our focus on the momentary troubles, these current, present troubles. We don't put our focus on that. Paul's perspective is a wider one, an eternal one, where he understands the glory that God has in eternity and the perspective of his place in it and his lifetime in it. He talks about the glory that far outweighs all these momentary troubles. You know, God's given us a great gift in the hope of eternal life. Eternity is a very long time, and the perspective of our life is pretty short, and yet we get so caught up in it. And when we step back and we have a look at the perspective of it all, we can easily be filled with thanksgiving because of what God promises us. Even troubles that we go through now contribute to the glory of God. That's what I love about this passage. Verse 17, he says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Do you hear those words? He says, our present troubles are small, yet they are producing glory. This is a tremendous theological theme of rewards, that when we go through hard times and testing, and we turn our hearts to praise during those hard times and testing, it builds up future glory rewards. So even the hardships can get translated into glory later on. I think that's one of the most wonderful things about God's economy. That even the most negative things that can happen to us are opportunities for God's glory to be poured out on our life if we trust Him through them. Who else could take a negative and turn it into an eternal positive like God can? It's part of God's will for us to experience His glory in this life as a foretaste of the next. But our focus can sometimes blind us to this glory that God has. In chapter 4 again, the Apostle Paul says this: "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." Paul is talking here about the inability of some people to understand the gospel, but it also applies to those who are blinded to God's glory as well. They can't see God's glory and work in the world. Even though they're surrounded by God, it's like something's blocking them. And he talks about this veil, this blockage, that people can't see the glory of God because their eyes are hidden from it. They don't pay attention to it. But if we look, we're actually surrounded by God's glory all the time. And a classic one is creation. You know, if you go and look at a sunrise or a sunset, or you walk through the bush, or you see a flower, or you sit and watch the little honey eaters feeding off the flowers, the intricacy of the feathers, the colors of the butterflies. It's just And that's not even getting to the humanity, like the wonder and beauty of people. How lovely they are and the capacity to care and love. And it's just amazing what God has done in creation. And then there's life, you know, to breathe and to experience these things of God through our senses, to smell the freshness and see the colors of creation, to experience that, the warmth of the sun and the pleasure of good food. Life, you know, the song said, it's your breath in our lungs. He gives us life. So what do? We pour out praise. He's the one that gives us breath. You know, I'm not dead, I'm alive, and I'm alive to experience life and have free will and choices. I can love. These are all beautiful things that God gives us that we can get so used to sometimes. Then there's the gospel, of course. God loves me and he died for me. So even when I make mistakes and I sin, he cleanses that. That's beautiful. A clear conscience, a cleanness of heart and mind. And then there's the Holy Spirit, of course. For those of us who believe, God puts his Holy Spirit in us and he's with us all the time, guiding, leading, sometimes challenging, comforting, all of that. The Bible talks about the fact that everything that is good in the world actually is an example of a gift of God, a blessing of God. In James chapter 1, he says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God the Father, who created all the lights of heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we out of all creation become his prized possession. James is talking here about everything that is good in the world is actually a blessing from God. So everything that you consider good, you can use as a source to thank him. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. And it might seem sometimes a little bit petty because we're so used to the good things. But if we do it, we start to see his glory. And the truth is, God wants us to do that. He wants us to see his glory. Because as we experience his glory here on earth, it's a taste of what is to come. It's a taste of heaven. I think it's a shame that many people can't see it. Many people can't see the glory of God. But if they were to praise and thank God more, they would see it. It opens our eyes to see the glory of God when we do that. I love the prayers that we read in the Bible of the apostles, the prayers over the churches. And today I just want to finish by focusing on one of the prayers that Paul writes that speaks of being caught up in this glory and to allow yourself to see it and therefore be overflowing with thanksgiving. It comes from Ephesians 3. If you have your Bible with you, it's not a bad one to mark, just to highlight it or put a permanent mark in there or whatever you do. This is a beautiful prayer and it's a wonderful. There's some wonderful truths in here about what I'm trying to teach us over these 3 weeks. It's Ephesians chapter 3. And it's verse 16 to 21. And it's probably one of the most magnificent verses on the glory of God in our lives. Paul prays. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work in us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to say again the challenge that I gave to you last week. If you weren't here, this is a first-time challenge. If you were here last week, this is a reminder that I've been giving you a three-week challenge, a journey into Thanksgiving, where you get yourself a journal or a book or something, and every single day, at the end of the day, you write down what you are thankful for to God for in that day. Like the Apostle Paul prays here, I also pray that God will open your eyes to see those things so that you can experience his glory as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we are surrounded actually by your glory. That all of the good things that we become so used to in life actually come from you as gifts, as a little bit of taste as to what heaven will be. And Lord, we choose today to take our eyes off the negative things and focus them on you and notice how much of our life is surrounded by your glory. The beautiful and wondrous things that you have done. The wonderful gifts of life that you give us. All the beautiful things that you pour out on us and your Holy Spirit that is present in us, walking alongside, guiding and showing us your way. The truth of the gospel that gives our heart peace of mind and a future. Lord, we thank you for all of that. And I pray, Lord, that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, will be open to see your glory. That we would acknowledge all the good things in this world as coming from you directly as gifts, as blessings. And Lord, we choose today not to worship the blessings, not to worship the gifts, not to be distracted by the wonder of them, but instead to use them as a source of thanksgiving and praise, enjoying everything you send for our pleasure, but enjoying them in your name. Lord, giving thanks to you for everything. And Lord, may you receive more and more glory as your church, your people, those who believe in you right around the world, see your glory and give thanks to you. May your name be honored and lifted high in our life, Lord, as we learn to thank you, to see what you have done, to notice the great things that you are doing around us and in our life. And so, Lord, I just pray an anointing on those last moments of the day where we will write down everything that we saw that we could be thankful for. And as we do that, Lord, may you be full of glory in our lives. May we overflow with thanksgiving as a habit, that we might reflect your praises, Lord, as we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.